My number five won second place from the Central Ohio Film Critics Association Best Overlooked Film.
Jesus.
They didn't overlook it. Well, I guess they did for another movie.
What's up? This is Movies on Up. The con is on. I'm Dave, joined by my partner in crime, Ryan.
That's me, Henry P.I.C.
Our tagline for this week, The Con is On. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or Twitter, @moviesonup, if I didn't say that one already.
I think you got it. Those are all three.
This week's fun one. I'm excited about this one. We're doing our favorite movies featuring con men or con artists. Focus, starring Margot Robbie and Will Smith, comes out in theaters this week. They play a couple of con people.
Con folks.
Yeah. So this one I'm excited about. It was one that I just kind of threw out there. Like, oh, con men movies. That's an easy enough. That'll be easy enough to search. And I had a couple come to mind. But then as I got into it, it's like, holy crap. Rarely do we get an episode where I feel like I get to talk about movies that I haven't talked about before. We've been doing this for way too many years already. So it feels like every list there's going to be at least something that I've talked about before. And I'm looking at my top five, and I think I've only ever mentioned one of these movies before, and I don't think it was in depth. So
I'll pick up the slack and talk about some that we've already talked about before.
Because, I mean, my number one would have been obvious, but I feel like I've talked about it before, so I left it off.
Is it Matchstick Men?
It's very much Matchstick Men. Yeah, I left it off because we've talked about it before. I've raved about it any chance I can get. So I have, like, five that I'm excited to talk about, and they're all in the same kind of... I think
they're all
90s.
The same genre?
I think they're all 90s. I'll look that up as I go. One might be 80s, but they're all pretty much from the decade of the 90s because we got different kind of con men movies back there then. But that's enough about that. How hard was this list for you?
Not all that difficult. I had, like you said, a couple come to mind immediately. One specifically that I was like, oh, yeah, I've never talked about this movie before on this show. I'm sure people have seen it, so I'm kind of... I don't think of it as a con movie, but it absolutely is. So I'm kind of jazzed to talk about that. And then, you know, when I get to the top of my list, there's my number one is a movie that I have mentioned a lot, and there's a reason that it's my number one. Additionally, I like it, but it also fits nicely at that number one spot, so that's where it's at.
So before we get to number one, let's start with your number five. Ryan, your number five favorite movie featuring a con artist.
My number five is Matchstick Men. It's not. My number five is a Guy Ritchie movie, and I feel like I love me some Guy Ritchie movies, and there's probably, I guess if you really wanted to try and squeeze some of his better movies on there, you could, but the one that kind of fits this list the best is 2008's Rock and Rolla, starring Gerard Butler, Tom Wilkerson, Tandy Newton, and Mark Strong. Like I said, there's most of the Guy Ritchie movies that he's done I like much better, Lock, Stock, Snatch. This one... at least the setup is a con. It's a real estate con. From there, it's kind of standard Guy Ritchie fare. Tandy Newton hires a couple thugs, Gerard Butler, Idris Elba, to steal this money. And they also, there's a painting that gets stolen. And this guy double crosses these guys. And they all, you know, it's pretty standard Guy Ritchie fare from there, but a pretty good flick. The guy, he stays in his lane and he does things really, really well.
Well, this was a return to his lane also. He had veered off a little bit with that Madonna movie.
I don't know if he got divorced from her at that point.
After Revolver.
This was 2008. Revolver was 2005. So,
okay, yeah. You know. So Revolver was kind of his return to Guy Ritchie. Rock and Rolla was like his really return to Guy Ritchie.
Yeah, it was like, hey, remember the kind of movies I used to make? I'm back to doing it now. One of the things that I really do like about Guy Ritchie movies is that his characters, not just the villains, but the characters in general, their names are always very appropriate, and they seem like characters out of, like, Dick Tracy. And one of the best ones in the movie, and this movie does feature a couple of your man crushes, a recent one, Toby Kebbell, shows up in here, the fella from Planet of the Apes that you liked so much. And Tom
episode 3 of Black Mirror.
Yeah, that one too. And Tom Hardy, who plays Handsome Bob. absolutely very fitting because he's an attractive young man. I love the character names. Gerard Butler plays 1-2. The Rocker, Toby Kebbell's names, like Johnny Quid or something. You've got Fred the Head. You can't think of a Guy Ritchie movie without thinking of like
Bullet Tooth Tony,
Bricktop. Those kind of names. They're great like UK crime names, and they all fit. They're maybe more aliases than character names. But I thought Rock and Roller was maybe in the pantheon of Guy Ritchie movies. It's not his finest, but I think it gets overlooked a lot. This list gave me a chance to talk about it because it starts off with a real estate fraud and things, like I said, they kind of devolve into pretty much theft and double cross from there, which is not necessarily a scam, but you know, it's guys trying to get one over on somebody else.
I love Snatch and I love Lock, Stock, but they're not really con movies. So, I mean, they're thieves.
They're heist movies.
They're maybe, heist yeah. movies. I mean, yeah, Brad Pitt and Snatch throwing the stuff. He could be considered a con, but this was good because it was a return to form for Guy Ritchie. I felt like Revolver kind of fell flat. And this was pretty awesome, and then it was just kind of like a tease because it's like, hey, I could still do this, guys, but Sherlock Holmes pays way more money. King Arthur pays a lot more money. So I feel like eventually we'll get that follow-up to Rock and Rolla, and I can't wait. My number five goes to one of the best. I mean, obviously, I said most of mine are from 90s. So if I said a movie in 1992 about a con man.
Two con men?
One con man, okay. Starring a big-time movie star. Eddie Murphy was like the perfect con man, leading man, because he was so damn charming and so damn likable. You would believe anything he said. And that's what happened in 1992's The Distinguished Gentleman. He's just a con man from Florida. Longtime congressman dies, who happens to share his name. So he cons his way into Congress. And that's the setup of the movie. And it's one of those really good ones because it's Eddie Murphy being Eddie Murphy. And I mean, this is probably a B-side Eddie Murphy movie. Like, but it's really, really good. Like when Eddie Murphy was at his peak, he's one of my favorite actors ever. This was not one of his maybe top performances, but it's such a fun movie. Just that the idea of somebody who doesn't belong in Congress. I mean, you could argue that nobody that's in there belongs in Congress, but an outsider going in there and kind of seeing how it works and realizing like, oh, these guys are more despicable human beings than me, who is a con man who cons people for a living. It's got your heart. It's got your nice little character arc that I'm such a sucker for. And it's got Eddie Murphy being at his most Eddie Murphy-est. And,
Eddie Murphy E.
Eddie Murphy E. Yeah, it's very Eddie Murphy. But yeah, I love 1992's The Distinguished Gentleman.
We're going to stay in 1992 for my number four, directed by Ron Shelton. And if I didn't have any con men in the last movie, and I just kind of cheated and said it starts with a con, I double up here. I've got two con men. Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson in White Men Can't Jump, also starring the wonderful Rosie Perez. Harrelson and Snipes play a couple of ringers, I'll call them. Harrelson especially kind of poses as, you know, obviously being a white guy, not very good at basketball. He shows up on the, I believe they're in like Venice or California somewhere, and as a guy who really can't play, and then when the money's down, all of a sudden, he becomes really, really good. And he joins up with Wesley Snipes to try and win some kind of, like, outdoor basketball tournament because he owes, like, some loan sharks money. I guess the premise is a little, maybe it's a little bit weak. But what I love about this movie is the longer I go between viewings, the better I think the basketball is. But when you go back and actually watch it, I'm not sure that Wesley Snipes had ever seen a basketball before he got on the set, because he does not look good with the rock and it with the basketball. And it really makes you kind of appreciate a guy like Charlie Sheen, who when he did Major League actually looked like a capable facsimile of a Major League pitcher. I don't think Harrelson was awful, but I just think that Wesley Snipes was that bad, it makes Woody Harrelson look better. Interestingly enough, like if you really want to see some good basketball being played, if you stare, if you look hard, you can see an NBA Hall of Famer in the glove. Gary Payton is like an uncredited street baller. I feel like if they were to redo this movie today, they would absolutely pack it with like all the teams that they would play in this tournament would be like LeBron and Dwight Howard. And I think it'd be kind of cool. They would be playing opposite Will Smith and Justin Bieber, whoever the white guy that can kind of play is.
So basically what you're saying is if you're watching a basketball game when Wesley Snipes is playing, never bet on black. That's a Passenger 57 reference.
I understand what that is.
My number four comes from 1990, an SNL star making the jump to the big screen. It was Dana Carvey, starring as the conman and in Opportunity Knocks. I loved this movie when I was a kid. Dana Carvey, it wasn't him being a character. Like Mike Myers' career consisted mostly of, you know, Austin Powers or Love Guru, whereas my favorite Mike Myers movie was So I Married an Axe Murderer. It's like my favorite Dana Carvey movie was Opportunity Knocks because he's playing a regular dude who's a terrible con man that just uses his funny voices and stuff for his advantage. And this movie holds up really well. I just rewatched this about a year ago, and it's still really funny. He's still really good. The setup is he's on the run from a loan shark and the cops, ends up in a house, turns out the owner's gone, turns out the house sitter isn't able to make it, so he just poses as the house sitter and falls in love with somebody, and a lot goes on. But it's a really, really funny movie, and Dana Carvey is really, really good. And if you watch this and think like, oh, cool, somebody from SNL has like, he looks like another leading man from SNL. The rest of his career didn't really pan out that way. But Opportunity Knocks showed a lot of potential, and it still holds up very, very well. And I love this movie.
My number three is a movie that I'm guessing you might have heard of before. It's from just last year. It's David O. Russell's American Hustle, starring Christian Bale, Amy Adams, Bradley Cooper, and Plunging Necklines. Bale's Irving and Adams' Sydney are probably the best examples of con folks that I have on the list. They start the movie with this art investment scam, which kind of attracts the attention of Bradley Cooper and the FBI. And I think you kind of know the story from there. And what you also probably remember from the Academy Awards is just about everybody that spends any amount of time on the screen got nominated for some sort of an acting award. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about how great they all were, because that's evident. And I think that the awards nominations were well-deserved. But I do want to focus on Jennifer Lawrence and Jeremy Renner, because while they might not be as involved as some of the other stars, holy God, I think they were absolutely captivating on the screen. At one point, Christian Bale refers to Jennifer Lawrence as the Picasso of passive-aggressive, which is like a perfect description of that character. She's an absolute train wreck of a woman that they have this very intricate plot all set up to try and bring down Jeremy Renner. And she's just like this complete loose cannon that you think at any moment she's going to bring the whole thing down because she just can't keep her mouth shut. So she's kind of like a time bomb on the screen. And one of the things I do love about Renner is, I mean, Amy Adams is playing about four or five characters because she's a con woman, and that's what she's supposed to be doing. And Christian Bale's really transformed in that movie. So everybody seems like they're playing a really fantastical character. And Renner's just kind of like your everyman. And he does a great job of like trying to keep you interested in his character. And you feel a little bit bad for him that he's being kind of entrapped by the government. He's, you know, just a politician who's trying to do something nice for his city, but you know, he's got Cooper's FBI agent who's got this giant hard on to try and get him busted on corruption charges. Obviously, it's a really good movie, and it's one of the first ones that came to mind. Not that, you know, maybe people haven't seen this movie or haven't heard about it, but I thought, I don't think we've never put it on a list because it's relatively new. But it is a great example of a con movie, and a con movie that's based off of a true story.
My number three is a movie that I don't think we've ever talked about or even referenced, but it's a great con movie. It goes back to 1999, starring Jeremy Northam and Steve Zahn. It is Happy Texas. The premise alone of this movie, it's just Zahn and Northam play escaped convicts who stumble across a traveling RV that happens to be of a gay couple that goes around and coaches beauty pageants on their way to Happy Texas to put on a, I forget the name of the pageant. It's a, just a little beauty pageant in this small town, and they figure that's the best place to hide. So they go and pose as this gay couple that puts on beauty pageants. And Zahn is very, very funny.
The Little Miss Fresh Squeeze.
That's what it is.
I got you.
William H. Macy is in there. He's great. He's the sheriff. Ileana Douglas, Ron Perlman's there. It's just a really, really funny movie. You know, Steve Zahn's had such a weird career. He's either in stuff that's really, really good or stuff that's really, really bad. And I think Happy Texas, a lot of people assume, gets lumped in with the really, really bad stuff. But I think it's a really good movie. It's charming. It's got a lot of heart. It's just a fun, funny. The premise is awesome. The delivery is awesome. It's just a fun movie directed by Mark Ilsley.
The last two flicks on the list are back-to-back Paul Newman joints. I think some of the things that seem to make a great con person on film is charisma and likability. And I think that Newman is a really good example of each for maybe even longer than 20 years. I think definitely throughout the 60s and the 70s. I think Ladies and Fellas were both kind of into this dude. He was effortlessly cool in everything he did. So I think if you were a guy, you're like, holy shit, this guy's awesome. I'd love to have a beer with him. And if you were a chick, you're like, oh my God, I'd love for this guy to buy me some beers. He was just seemed like he was that kind of a dude. You rarely ever hear anybody have a negative thing to say about Paul Newman, even, you know, as a person, which is pretty rad. That, you know, it's one thing to play a character on the screen or play several characters that people seem to like, but to actually be a likable person, it seems like it's a bit of a different task. So my number two is Robert Rosen's The Hustler from 1961, starring Newman, Jackie Gleason, and Piper Laurie. I say that he's a likable guy. The first time we see Fast Eddie in this particular movie, he's kind of a dick. People seem to kind of point at this and say it's a breakout role for Newman. On the one hand, I agree, but a couple months back, I talked about his portrayal of Rocky Graziano in Somebody Up There Loves Me. I think that is kind of, if I was going to point, I would say that's sort of the star-making role for Newman. This kind of showed that he could play a character that was not just cool. In this movie, he gets so obsessed with showing up in this town. All he wants to do is challenge and beat Minnesota Fats, who's Jackie Gleason. He's so focused on that that really he ruins his relationship with his hustling buddy. He really treats Piper Laurie he treats her awfully, and for whatever reason, she's still into him. That's probably because he's Paul Newman. But he's a really kind of a shitty character, and he's the default protagonist in the movie, but you don't necessarily want to see him win because he really doesn't do anything to make you think he's a good guy that you want to root for. He just has this completely all-encompassing determination to beat Minnesota Fats at pool. And he literally stops at nothing in the movie to do that. So when he finally does get his matchup, you're kind of like, ah, I guess I want him to win because he's Paul Newman. But on the other hand, he's such an asshole. I hope he does lose. He loses all of his money.
My number two is also sticking in the sports world. Not necessarily about a con, but about a con man. James Wood played Gabriel Kane in 1992's Digstown. I think this is the only movie I'm mentioning today that I've talked about in the past. But, you know, he's a con man. He's doing it. He does anything he can to get a buck, but he finally gets out of prison. He's looking to go clean, but, you know, runs into Bruce Dern's John Gillen. And they make a bet that he can't find a boxer to knock out 10 men from Digstown. And he goes after Honey Roy Palmer, played by Louis Gossett Jr. It's such a good movie. Like, I love this movie so much. I talk about Opportunity Knox holding up. Like, this movie doesn't just hold up. Like, it's, I mean, this movie could come out today, and I would love it. Heather Graham was young and very, very hot in this. James Woods is great. He wasn't leading man a lot, but this one he pulled it off real well. It's like the perfect Lou Gossett Jr. role. Bruce Dern's just a great villain all the time. Oliver Platt was very Oliver Platty. It's just a good, good movie. It's maybe the biggest reach because it's not necessarily about a con, but about a con man who's trying to mix things up and straighten out. It's just such a good movie because the boxing is good in it. The story's fantastic. You have the subplot about Arthur Diggs, the former heavyweight champ. just everything about it, this 24-hour span to where Honey Roy Palmer's trying to prove something. You know, James Woods trying to prove something. James Woods is still trying to become a better person. And Bruce Dern is just going to win at all costs. I'll talk about Digstown any chance I can get. So I was excited to be able to throw it on this list because I think it's just been mentioned in passing before. But I love this movie. This movie is so, 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 so good.
My number one is mentioned more than just in passing. And I kind of wanted to put the Fast Eddie double feature and put The Color of Money on here as well. If I were going to do that, I like The Color of Money. I don't necessarily like it more than Rock and Roll or any of my other movies on here. So I would have had to put it at like 2. And I thought that was just way too high for that movie. And I love Paul Newman. I don't need 2 Fast Eddie movies when in fact I can just turn around and give him credit for Henry Gondorf in George Roy Hill's The Sting from 1973. I know I've talked about The Sting several times on the show, and like I said, while I would love to have given, you know, 5 minutes of time to talk about another flick, I just really couldn't do so in good confidence. See what I did there? Confidence. The longer, I think, that you wait, if you haven't seen The Sting yet, the longer you wait before you see it, I think the less you're really going to like it. I've talked about it enough to where you're probably expecting the greatest movie ever made. It's not quite the greatest movie ever made. I like it. I think it's very good. But it's going to seem probably a bit formulaic, predictable, perhaps even a little cookie cutter. I'll justify why I like it by saying that the reason it may seem formulaic and cookie cutter and blah, 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 is that every movie that you think The Sting is like,
copied off of The Sting.
Right. They've been ripping off The Sting for 40 years.
It seems cookie cutter, but it built the cookie cutter.
Yes. It's in my opinion, it's kind of the template that people build con movies, like Die Hard is the template for action movies. If you even want to look at a movie like American Hustle, there are a lot of similarities between that movie and between the con in The Sting. And American Hustle, it's a real thing. That shit happened. So real life, the FBI ripped off The Sting because it worked so good in that movie. The Sting 2 is terrible.
Sting harder.
Yeah, exactly. A Good Day to Sting Hard, I believe, is the subtitle for that one. But I love Paul Newman. Robert Redford's really good in it. Robert Shaw. It seems very dated, and a lot of that is because of the score. It's very ragtimey, which if you didn't know what decade it takes place in, if you listen to, I don't know, 30 seconds of the score, you're like, this is probably in the ragtime era, which I think is in the 30s. You can see everything coming about a mile away, but I think it's a great example of a movie that you would see a high school production of, because at no point do you think any of the characters are in real danger. It's a lot of hijinks, a lot of people trying to hold up this facade so that the police can get this crooked banker. I like it. I realize that I might be, at least people of my vintage, I'm probably alone on this branch saying how much I like The Sting, but I like it a lot. And when I think of con men, that's always the first thing that comes to mind. I know I've talked about it before, but I wanted to talk about it just one more time.
My number one, also a classic con man movie from 1999. I'm going to run down the cast, and I'm going to mention the name of the movie, but I'm going to try not to spoil it. I'll give you a warning when I spoil it, because it's the kind of movie that the less you know about it going in, the better. But you start Lauren Dean, who never really blew up as a leading man, though he carried this movie very well. Hope Davis, Jason Lee, Alfre Woodard, Mary McDonald, Pruitt Taylor Vince, Zooey Deschanel, Martin Short, David Paymer, Ted Danson, Jason Ritter, Elizabeth Moss. That's a cast for 1999's Mumford, directed by Lawrence Kasdan. If you haven't seen Mumford and plan on watching it soon, do earmuffs for a minute, because just go into it blind. I've told you it's about a con man. I feel like that's too much. This is the kind of movie that pays off way better if you have no idea going in. But basically, Lauren Dean moves into a town named Mumford, presuming to be Dr. Mumford, doctor with the same name as the town, and he just listens to people's problems as a psychologist. Turns out, he is not now, nor has he ever been, a licensed therapist. So that kind of leads to all the conflict, and he's just really, really good at listening. It's a really good movie, because what he's doing is terrible. What, pretending to be a therapist and listening to people's innermost thoughts is a terrible, terrible thing to do, but he's so charming when he does it, and he's so helpful. He's actually good at the job he's pretending to do. He helps out Jason Lee, Alfre Woodard, Martin Short, and Ted Danson are really good in it, young Zooey Deschanel. There's a lot of good about this movie, and it's really, really entertaining. I don't know why. This movie's always been very near and dear to my heart. I have no idea why I love this movie as much as I do, but it was really the first one that came to mind, and that's what got me so excited about this episode, because I don't remember ever talking about Mumford before, at least not in depth. It's just such a good movie, and I realize I've said that about all of mine, but I like a good con man movie. And in the 90s, we got some good con man comedies. And the common thread amongst all mine is they're all comedies with an over arc where the character becomes better. And Lauren Dean does that. He ends up paying for his sins, and he's still who he's going to be. So my number one con man movie is Mumford, without a doubt. Well, it would have been Matchstick Men, but I feel like we've talked about Matchstick Men a lot. Matchstick Men, I think, is the perfect con man movie. So the default number one, I think, is Matchstick Men. But I left it off just because we've talked about it so much.
Did you leave anything else off? Either because we talked about it or just because you didn't feel
Six Degrees of Separation. Will Smith, I almost kicked off the list with it because tie full circle from Six Degrees of Separation to Focus, but I like The Distinguished Gentleman more. And another 90s comedy that I really wanted to put on, but it's not really about a con man. It was Bowfinger, starring Steve Martin and Eddie Murphy. Steve Martin's not a con man in it, but what they're doing is definitely a con where he can't raise money to make a movie. He's just a desperate movie producer. He can't get Kip, Eddie Murphy, to sign on to his movie, so he decides to film a movie while following Eddie Murphy around and getting a stand-in to do parts he needs him to do. It's definitely a con, but he wasn't really a con man. He was just a desperate, desperate man. I mean, the con was definitely on in that movie, and I like it a lot.
If I can piggyback off your Steve Martin, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels is one. Him and Michael Caine, basically just trying to one-up each other. And Steve Martin's a guy that I think can play, whereas maybe Paul Newman was like your straight con man. If you need like a funny con man, you mentioned Eddie Murphy, who's great. I think Steve Martin is on that level. He's got a couple that you could probably slide in there, but for me, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels was probably the one that I left off. I mean, Catch Me If You Can, I think, is one that probably comes to mind for a lot of folks. I didn't necessarily love that movie, but it's definitely a great illustration of an actual con guy. So, I mean, it's a biopic con flick, and Leo was good in it. I thought he played the role really, really well, but I guess those are probably the two that I would have left off. I mean, if I was going to put one on, it would have been Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, just because, and it's a comedy from Michael Caine, which I like too.
So, what are your favorite con man movies? I'm sure we missed them. Let us know movies on.
Unless it was The Sting,
yes.
Then we got
or Matchstick Men,
right?
Or Mumford. If you're a Mumford head, as I like to call them, hit me up. We'll talk about some Mumford. Leave the Sons at home, though. I just strictly like Mumford. But yeah, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, @moviesonup. Get into the tagline contest, all that other stuff. Follow us, moviesonup.com. Yeah, that's it. So until next week when we have another episode. Next week is Sigourney Weaver?
Yes. Next week is our top five Sigourney Weaver films. So check that one out. It'll probably be four Aliens movies and Avatar.
How high is Alien and Aliens?
Pretty high. But until then,
keep it up.